this, turn it, and I've got my backup here.
So this is for you to be able to refer to, is that it?
I will need the transcript, right, in order to actually do the writings. And the Zoom interview is for the potential purpose of doing some video clips.
Okay.
So do marketing, that kind of
right, thing. Right.
Yeah. So this inspiration, and I'm just going to name this as Helene Courvette. How do you say?
Yeah, it's a hard one. Helene Courvette.
Helene Courvette. Yeah. And this is Tuesday, April the 14th.
It is.
And I will ask in writing a small bio and some other things that don't need into the interview process. But I just wanted to welcome you so more formally into this space, Helene. It's nice to learn about where you are in the waters and land that you are now situated in during this time of self-shelter. Yeah. And I'm just down the road, as we like to say here in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
The interview for the Singing Dragon Book Project with the working title of Yoga Radicals.
Okay.
Inspiring stories from pioneers in the field. So this is about moving from me to we. And the frame, so I can name it before we get grounded.
Right.
This quality of having had a personal practice of yoga, meditation, or whatever other wisdom tradition has come to you, and capturing those moments, that nexus, that way in which you understood or were inspired that there was something more to offer as a benefit to more people.
Right.
For the social good, for others, however you understand this moving from me to we consciousness. And it's timely because many people are realizing that it actually benefits other people to bring the mind and the heart and the body together as we act in the world as humans. And so that's the shape of the inquiry.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm honored that you asked to be here, and definitely happy to talk to you and answer whatever questions you have and fill you in on it. Is there any other Canadians that you're contacting?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. How many people are you interviewing in all?
Well, let's get grounded so we can focus.
Okay. All right.
So I like to invite people just for a good 60 seconds to find your way, Helene, to enter sacred space and to use the breath and body in whatever way to welcome everything that will be useful for the readers of this book, for us right here now. And to honor all of the teachers, teachings, experiences. And to sense in to this time and this space that we're connecting in. Letting go of what is no longer serving in this time of deep connection with what is emerging. And letting there be space and awareness, creativity and compassion, and whatever else you want to bring in. And for me, at this time in my life, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you. That was lovely. Thanks. I've never started an interview that way, and I think it's a delicious way to begin. Yeah.
Thank you. So from this perspective of initiation and invocation, Helene, the qualities of this new kind of leadership, yoga radical, yoga innovation, it's meant to invite from you now a memory and awareness of when you understood somewhere along your path that you could do something more than yoga and meditation for yourself. So I'd like you to trace back in your memory and your awareness of when this inspiration arose, about the Misty Conference, about maybe other projects that have been from this perspective of a larger perspective of what's possible.
Yeah, well, I have a unique story as to, you know, I entered yoga 20 years ago. I moved to this town, and I actually used to live near the Sivananda Ashram north of here, and I'd never been, but I knew people who actually constructed there. But when I moved here, I moved in with now my ex-husband, and I saw there was, you know, I was looking what was happening in the community. And I started, I said to him, I'd like to go to yoga. So I entered a class, and that teacher actually teaches at my yoga center now. She's in her 70s. And she kept teaching. A couple years ago, she had a kidney removed due to cancer. And she taught. She is my yoga mama, and she is had done yoga 10 years before that. So fast track a couple years after that, I'm just loving yoga. Now, a little further back for a moment, my mother was an Olympic swimmer, and my father was a big athlete. We skied since we were three and water skied, and we were always on skis or water or snow. So I entered it with this sense of just wanting to move the body. And a few years after, about 3 years after that, I had a stillborn baby. And I went into yoga a couple weeks after, ready to just get into yoga. And there was the uniqueness of no one else that showed up for that class. Maureen is this teacher. And it was just Maureen and I. And Maureen and I already had a bond. She'd lost a son who was 21 to a car accident. My brother at 21 died of a car accident. So I entered the room after the loss of the baby. And she said to me, Helene, she had seen me do yoga with her for 3 years. And there was something in her instinct that said to me, you should be a yoga teacher. You'd be good at this. And there's a training, you know, 20 years ago, trainings were just beginning in our area anyway. So she and I carpooled, and we used to leave the car exactly where my yoga center is now. And we carpooled to drive to the city of Montreal 45, 50 minutes ago. I actually got pregnant within that time. My daughter, who just came down, did the dishes, was conceived and gave birth during that period of the training. I brought her to my first weekends. So I actually did training, you know, becoming pregnant and giving birth and all of that, because it's hard to say what one thing, but it's a lead up. And then the part of the training to, you know, to then I wanted to do more yoga, and I don't have the self-discipline to do it alone as much as I want to, but to share, and I have four children, so the sharing was something that I really wanted to do so I could do more. So I was wanting more by giving more. And at the time I knew a woman who had breast cancer. And I asked a few of my friends, do you guys want to help me practice teaching? I can teach you guys some yoga. And the friend with the cancer said we could do it in my basement. And so I started teaching yoga to four people in a basement with a woman who had cancer, who did die a few years after that. So it had this blend of, you know, it was for me, it was for them. We felt good in body, we felt good in mind. But it originated, me teaching was originally with someone who at the time was thinking she would win this battle. It went on for about a year and a bit. And so that seed didn't leave, you know, it's somehow, I think there was a, like that was, it needed to be almost, that was the beginning. And so then when I started teaching, I would have people come up, you know, an 80-year-old saying, I grew an inch, my doctor said, in the last year. And then someone who said, my doctor told me my blood pressure is low. I have low blood pressure. On the registration, I used to teach out of a community center before I opened my center. And on the registration, I asked a question, what brings you to yoga? What are you looking for? And I'd have stretching, get stronger, get more balance, get fit, but a few choice, you know, a few things, but everyone, it might've been the only thing, but it was always get fit and relax, get stronger and release stress. That releasing of stress seemed to be always on there. And so I listened to it and my thought was, it was the effect that people were coming for most. And so although 20 years ago, I was 20 years younger, I'm 58, so I was 38. And so my body was, you know, that athletic part of me wanted to do more. As I got older and as I saw and heard moving stories, you know, someone saying, Aline, I've been coming for a year and this is the first time I finished Savasana and I'm not crying. And she shared with me that her niece had an aneurysm, a 7-year-old niece, and the whole family has been grieving for a year. And I get shivers thinking about that now. Just how people were getting something more. And so my teaching, I guess by listening and hearing these stories, it was like, whatever we're doing physically doesn't matter. It doesn't, it's not the poses. And I often ask at the beginning of a class, what are you here for? What got you up and got you here? And at the end of the class, did you get it? And did it have anything to do with Warrior One? You know, did it have anything to do with the sequence or this particular pose or the other? So, that was sort of the origin of how it went. And so the more I taught, the more I would hear stories, the more that mattered. And that's, you know, it just is, you know what I mean? Cause I know a lot of times some yogis have their, like a lot of stuff that brings them. My baby died after I had done yoga. I was actually doing good when I started yoga. There was no, you know, I was in a good place, but then something did happen and because of the baby's loss, I went to teacher training because I felt like a cat with no kittens, even though I had 3 other children at home. I still had, you know, thought for the next year, I'm going to have an infant. So my infant became the training. So that serendipitiness of it all, that's just sort of how that all happened. So I don't know if you want me to go on to explain how then Misty was born.
Well, let me just pause for a moment.
Yeah. As
listen in again to the space that we're co-creating in our interview time here.
Yeah.
What I like to do sometimes here at this moment is to invite a deeper listening into your feeling right now as you backtrack to those change moments of your life. And so we're mapping here now.
Yeah.
So that as we get clear, then there's a refining. That's part of another series of questions. So just go inside for a moment as your momentum wants to go toward the Misty birthing process.
I could pause that.
Yeah, just to hold the tail of whatever this tiger is that you've been learning from during years. And invite that energy in as well, so that the readers, these young ones, excuse me, who will be reading your story, can learn from these different energies of your birthings, of these projects and your babies and your friends and their birthings and their comings and their goings and their dyings, because you really painted a very complex picture of a group. Many who come to the yoga practice. So I just thought I'd put a mirror up to what I was hearing from the field of inquiry that I sit in here. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, as I reflect on what you're saying, I feel it's kind of like right now, this COVID situation. We all have our personal story, and yet we're all doing, it's shifting us, you know, So I think the practice of yoga, as I was shifting, and I watched others shift, we were all shifting in our own personal stories. So what started as me going to do yoga very just swam, I have to say swim, into a weeness of hearing other people, you know, and then going through divorce and other losses, you know, and yoga always being there and teaching it. So I think because I taught it so, I think teaching is a great way to repeat, like rereading the book over and over again, keep watching and keep talking about the subject. So in the teaching, I'm learning because I'm reminding myself of these paths. I'm reminding myself of this, of the philosophy, of the purpose behind it. You know, and then when someone had brain cancer and came to classes and she passed away, I thought, why did I charge her money? So I started to say, I am not charging. If anyone has cancer and is in treatment, you don't have to pay. I don't have a special class. And they appreciate that because they're safe. And when somebody had ALS, I said, I'm not going to charge you. To me, there's no beginning and end between my suffering and what I get out of it and their suffering and what they get out of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So just let that land
as
you're reaching in to the fullness of your experience of this moving from a me place to a we place and the dance of your vision, of your capacity, of that practice, the repetition with others and what you learned. And I love that you're a mountain person and a swimmer and a you know, very physical, because as these other qualities began to land in you, then I'm very curious about how Misty was born.
Yeah. So life has a fabulous way of happening. And I'm thinking at this time again, you know, it's a chance. It's a gift, really. I think that because seeing people suffer, because I suffered, many different things happened in my life that yoga was there to help me ground, and I saw it ground others as I shared it, and then I grounded more in sharing it. So at the end of my marriage, or soon after it, I met someone who had been doing medical conferences. And so I was grieving a pretty crazy end of a marriage. And this person came into my life, and he wanted to know what I was doing. You know, we had a relationship, and I told him about yoga, and he had an image of yoga that is typical out there. And I said, well, you know, the kind of yoga I really teach, the approach I have, the purpose of my teaching. And I was beginning teacher training that same time, all within those months. And so I said, it has a depth to it. And in listening to it, he thought, this is like medicine and yoga can work together. And since he had done medical conferences, he says, let's do a conference and bring the two together. And at the time, I was a little intimidated about it. And we split up about 5.5 years ago. And he handed it to me. We did it together 4 times and then said, Helene, this is your world. Whereas he could create a conference. He knew that I was the connecting force of the people. I was the face of it. He was doing websites and he was there at the weekend, but I was making this interaction. And the fact is, and then I started teacher training and I heard myself, right, teaching the meaning, the purpose behind all these shapes we happen to want to teach, because teachers come in at the 200 level. I now do the 300 and I'm applying for IYT, but at that level, they're all keen to be these great teachers, you know, and be able to walk around and adjust. And so I started to hear myself now do more of the teaching. So my teaching grows within me. I'm not just teaching a class. Now I'm teaching trainees. So now I'm teaching them all the other stuff that is not really in the details in a regular yoga class. All the philosophies, all the, you know, and the philosophy, I always start with that. I say, there's no point. We'll do some postures, but until you really understand the philosophy, then you can really use the postures to do more with. And so now I'm shifting from taking it because I wanted to move to starting to teach because I wanted to move more and share it, to seeing how it had changed my, like, grounded me throughout my life's stuff, and then seeing other people share how it grounded them, to now moving through another really turbulent time and having somebody just come into my life and offer this opportunity that pushed me. And I'm a striver, you know. I brought up my mother because that, I think that blood is in me. You know, she was 19 and had 3 records at the Pan Am Games. I was intimidated how I was going to do this world international conference, just the two of us. And now I do it just me. But that part, that drive was, but what a change we can make. Because we have a great healthcare system in Canada, but it's not quite integrating it. And I have a doctor that comes to my class. She says, I prescribe yoga all the time, but I don't tell everybody. I tell certain people. I tell certain colleagues because it, you know, it's shifting. And that was 10 years ago, 9 years ago that we started the first MISTI, and it's changed then. When we first did it, it was mostly local yoga teachers and trainers. Now it's mostly traveling internationally and they're the peers. And it makes me so proud. And I still hear from my ex-partner who's very proud of how it's gone. So the idea, sometimes I'm in the middle of MISTI and I, that weekend especially, and I realize I brought people from Europe, from Israel, just like IYT, from different, it's much smaller. The gift of it being smaller and the gift of it, just what it is, I'm not comparing, but the gift of it not having any tie to any association or corporation is that it remains small. So in a room, it feels more like a room of a workshop instead of a, and we have an exchange. And it brings an intimacy, which I love. So I feel that we can only, I feel that the philosophy and the changes has to have that personal connection. You know, the guru used to sit at the guru's feet, you know, or some still do, but it's like now everything is just so, you know, you walk into a studio and you walk out, that connection isn't there. I thrive on that. And I think MISTI, those who have gone, like Shelley and Staffan Elgalit are also really great supporters, and Matthew Taylor and Michael Lee and others, but they've been there and love it because it has this intimacy that I cannot help being, because I believe that's where change really happens, when we connect on a personal level, you know. Because if you think of yoga, you can teach the poses and even teach the philosophy, but I like teaching with stories of how it applies in my life. I don't mind bearing my soul of my struggles. That's yoga to me, that we're reaching a person through all the layers.
Right.
Teach them. Not just teaching them about the layers, but teaching them to their layers.
So perfect. So thank you for a tour through your capacity to witness and learn simultaneously. That's what I'm experiencing as I listen to you. Mm-hmm. And so if this integration of your personal story and the repetition of the practices, what caught my attention during this last minute or so was your mention of the when I brought in the yoga philosophy, and now I'm doing all of that, and you are teaching trainees. That shift of bringing in the wisdom of the yoga tradition is, in my view, exactly what we're trying to understand through these personal narratives. The what might it be more explicitly than managing the complexity of your life? But now that the warp and weave of the yoga tradition is now integrated in how you spend your time with others, that's the integration of the philosophical basis. I'm curious if you have a favorite transmission or sutra or teaching that might have been that further support for that more intimate part of yourself that you so willingly share, and and that you kind of share that with readers now. How did yoga philosophy come to further support your unfolding?
And now the practice of yoga. I think, you know, step one, I was just talking with a friend today who was having a very hard time, the one that's stuck in New Mexico but lives in Vermont. And she was, it just hit her, you know. She's been enjoying her vacation, but and then extended it saying, oh, just stay here. But now the practice of yoga. And I think I wake up every morning, and every other sutra following is you know, it's just the other steps. But first we just have to land and say just that, you know, in everything I do, in every way I behave, in the way I listen, in the way I talk, in the way I walk, I strive. I don't manage it all the time. But I strive to just leave it to the, just the basics. You know, we are just, we just have to practice it. You know, it's funny because, you know, I didn't plan this, but my mother must be with me listening. Because I think, you know, how do you become an Olympian? It would just be, and now you swim, you know, you just swim. And I think we just have to get up and practice our yoga in every way, shape, form, just, you know, still the mind and just what is the main thing today? What am I going to, you know, how is it going to present itself today in my life? Okay.
Beautiful. Yeah. So landing in that awareness that there's this moment by moment capacity to remember one's intention.
Yeah.
So you spoke about the beginnings of Misty and its further iterations. It's going on, its intimacy. The landing place is where I call that from the perspective of a project and how it got birthed. I'm curious about the subtle impact that gaining some stability in the daily practice of yoga has shifted other relationships for you, other core team members, so to speak.
So I'm not sure. I want to just be clear on that question, how my practicing it has made shifts in my relationships in my life. Is this what you're asking?
Yeah. So originally you were speaking about how it came to you.
Yeah. Right?
And
yeah.
And the ability to launch Misty and these things that came as a result of something happening to you.
Right.
Now, like to shift it into the future a little bit, so that as you find that intimacy with life and the life of others, who else has shown up that you can share that subtle aspiration with? Not the doing energy, but the being energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm trying to see which just comes up. I mean, so since Misty, what else has sort of manifested its continuum?
Well, more from the perspective of you landing in an intention, so that as your attention has become more refined, due to your yoga practice, due to Misty and the way in which you've navigated some of those struggles. I'm curious, what is emerging now or had emerged that brings more from you not doing it as a result of something, but you manifesting it with others?
Yeah.
Because you care together with others about something.
Yeah. So, you know, I remember what comes to mind right now specifically is just at we have lunches and everybody at Misty can be together because there's 100 people only. So, and Staffan Elgalit has been a fabulous support. And I said to him, you know, at the time it was one when I was doing it with my ex-partner, Eric. And I said, you know, we'd love to have more people. You know, it was sad to see that we weren't affecting as many people. And I remember I said, what do we do different? He says, you're doing it right. Just keep doing it. And I think that... the feedback, you know, trying to, by connecting with others and seeing what they're doing, by watching the shift in the world. And my intention, you know, behind Misty is to leave my mark on this world. You know, how can I leave an imprint that will make a difference? Many, many years ago, I had a friend who suffered from depression, and I would listen with her quite a bit. And she'd say in her hardest, darkest times, you know, I don't understand what life's about. And I asked the question to myself. This was before yoga. And I came to the answer came that for me, it's about having as positive an effect, you know, making as positive an impact on as many people as possible. My father was a yogi and he would laugh at that thought. But when there was tragedy, he would thrive. And I inherited that. And I think that desire, because I'm quite capable to thrive. Those who know me will know I have suffered many losses and many hardships, but that ability to thrive is a gift for me that's been instilled in from my parents, upbringing, DNA, and all of it. And I think that human society can thrive if we can keep taking the walls down between the differences of medicine and yoga, which has happened over the last 10 years. It's been incredible over the last 20 years to see it. So it's like, as I evolved, I've watched it evolve as well. And I don't know if I'm answering it well, but from me to, you know, and so it's, I feel that everybody who comes in my path, everybody I choose for Misty, I call them, I want a conversation via FaceTime, I want to feel their energy. It matters because it's an energy, the weekend of these dozen presenters and myself. So together, we're creating the energy of what Misty is. I put out there the platform. We have a Friday faculty dinner. We have a lot of fun. We go out Saturday, and there's no separateness, you know, there's no dualism. We're all there creating that energy. And then to hear people being so grateful and to feel this mission of trying to help people. For me, it's a simple mission. I want to help people who suffer. And the way I feel is we have to educate yoga people, medical people, and then bring them together, take the divide down and unite. You know, and in that way, we can help people who suffer because it all goes back to that person in the basement, right? And everybody else who shared their stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if, in fact, through this conversation, we're mapping a leadership journey, right? Not necessarily getting the Olympic gold medal, but something that inspired you, right? And you've so beautifully honored both your parents with some of the characteristics of your perseverance and your resilience and all of that. What comes to mind now, and it's part of the series of questions that are coming out of the Presencing Institute, I didn't mention that at the beginning, that the basis of learning by doing, learning from the inside out, mm-hmm. is now in these interviews combined with the impact of the wisdom traditions, not just your life experience, but the way in which you integrate the impact of the repeating of the wisdom tradition. So you spoke to that, mm-hmm. and to how it manifests. You spoke to the feeling and really sensing quality of that intimacy as people come together at Misty. Now we get to take a look, not just to the personal sufferings, but this awareness that has built in you around the collective impact. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's this identity as educator. I'm not quite sure who in there, Helene, that we haven't heard from yet, but there's someone else in there who hangs out under the Bodhi tree and is really honoring the rootedness of the wisdom tradition that you educate people in. And so can we just take a moment and track back in there to see who else might want to come forward, even if it's a question like a different challenge that wasn't about surviving or thriving, but we're moving into this place which is more about flourishing, which actually invites a collective awareness. Mm-hmm. Just do a little zooming around in there, rooting around in there to see. Mm-hmm. The what else, you know, it's like the little wounded animal, the little baby fox in the forest that still wants to come out. And I'd like you to think of those young ones who will be reading about your story. Mm. And to see what else we can bring into the light here. And it could be only through this question of what really surprised you about staying on this path.
Yeah. I let me just think a moment. So, you know, the beautiful outcome of it, and that surprised me, was there's other things that were born out of Misty. Books, collaborations, people meet, and then they went on to write books together, you know? And I'm aware that this has manifested births of books, of friendships that are bonding, especially between presenters, and how then that it's this domino effect, right? I go through my stuff, I do my teaching, I create Misty, and then things are birthed from that. And how one connection can change your life, right? Misty's there because of a time I spent with someone, and then they go to Misty and then they create things out of that. And it's, and you know, I've actually been asked to, you know, pre-read or endorse their book, and honored in some of them. And I just feel like that was surprising. You know, I was just going to put together this conference and try to group people together, but bonds were made, especially with some of these presenters. And then bonds were made with me and them, and then them together. And I think that united, it can multiply, you know, because if you think of a book that's written and then it multiplies, it's just the impact of what something, you know, you're just swimming along, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's happening because of this conference. This is happening, you know, the things that can happen because of it. Was not something that was in my first intention, was the connect. I just wanted to get the medical and yoga world together, but I'm finding that that's happening, but so is other things happening, that how just, you know, you can create something, and that drives me to keep creating it. I just feel this tradition is uniting, right? It is about uniting within ourselves, our own mind, body, spirit, but everybody together uniting and seeing what can happen. I love the idea of being surprised. I love the idea of being in awe. I love the idea of not knowing. I say often to my children, you have no idea what can happen anytime, anywhere, anyone. And it could be tragic, like COVID, mm-hmm. but it can also be amazing. So it's like, I can't wait to see what happens next time, you know? And I try to go with an openness, like not, people often will, when I ask them to present, what's your theme? And I go, I don't know. What, you know, and I ask them to send me, you know, four choices of subjects. Everybody does two. And I lay it out. I love puzzles. So I'll lay it all out in a sheet and I'll mix and match. Those ones will work. And there it is. So just to let it happen more organically, mm-hmm. and then just letting life surprise me, you know. I don't know if that answers that well, but
yeah. So the image that I got when I was listening to you, particularly when you were experiencing the delight of awe and wonder about the impact of doing what you've been doing, gave me this picture of, you know, constellations of stars, and that some of the work on the planet now seems to be drawing new lines between new stars as a way to understand that we certainly don't know what's out there still. And so as we wind down to the end, I'd like you to put on your magician's hat. so that we can be in the awe and wonder place together, Helene. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like we could energize just through this tree of life, this constellation of newness that you seem to be really, really involved in helping to cultivate the conditions for newness, the relationships, the books, the sponsorships. Is what else might you put into words now for the sake of the readers that you would wonder about in this time, in this place, for the sake of the future?
I what comes to mind right now is John Lennon's song, Imagine. You know, I think that when my stillborn, when I lost that baby, I remember saying, this is not the end of my story. So I got pregnant for the fifth time and had my fourth child, Tessa, which means fourth. And I say that in the tragedy of losing this stillborn boy, I grieved it. But that ability to just imagine that it's this domino effect. Because of this, everything else fell into place. So I think that for the readers out there, I would say this. In your darkest time, imagine that you will look back and that the dominoes set up because of this dark time will have a purpose. It doesn't mean that only good will come out of it, but that the path is laid out and not every stone can be bright. And so imagine in your darkest time that this too will pass. Imagine that there will come a step that becomes lighter and brighter, and then darker ones will come. And imagine that you'll be fine. That you'll be fine, and that every life, I had hosted a guru that came from, his name was Guru Shivas, from in Italy a few times at my center, and he said, something has to happen every day. It can't all be good, but something has to happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just if we can just know that some days it's going to be darker and some days it's going to be lighter, but in the darker ones, just imagine the lighter one will come. Visualize it, because where your brain is going to go, where your thoughts are going to go, this is what you're going to feel viscerally. Mm-hmm. Grieve when you need to grieve. But I think what happens sometimes, I would say to the young readers and any reader, is when we get into dark place, we imagine it'll always be like this, right? Our imagine sense is, when's it ever going to end? As opposed to imagining it will end, and what will I do when it does? I wrote a post on Facebook and said, this is an opportunity to shift gears, reassess. So once it's over, what will you bring with you? What will you bring with you that through this COVID time, what are you going to bring with you? So I'm walking more. I've been wanting to walk more. I have the time, so I'm walking more. So I'm going to bring with me, I'm going to continue to walk more. Whatever it is for anyone, you know, what will I bring with me? And sometimes those darker places are times to just reassess, you know?
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you. So this bringing into form is what I'm left with, that you have brought into form through Misty, and now this future that you will be walking. And so I'd just like to end with a sense of gratitude for all the brightness that you bring, all the wisdom that you bring, and thank you so much for being part of this project.
You know, it was my pleasure, and I can't wait to see how it manifests. I'm sure it will go, you know, as it organically will. So I'm going to imagine it being just the loveliest thing for people to read and enjoy. And thank you for doing your steps along your path and inviting me for a moment, a brief moment in time in it. I'm really grateful to share. I hope it was, you know, something that you, that was, could be well received.
Thank you so much. Be well.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.